live from Los Angeles. It's the Financial Sanity Hour. What we do, we have a website. It's called Financial Sanity Now. We also have a company that backs up that financial sanity. Our business philosophy is here. We are here to help people better cope and understand the current financial context and the crises that we find ourselves in. We understand that each individual has been caught up in the current economic malaise. We also know that it has deep roots, and it has been changing over the last 20 years, and that many factors have caused to create this uncertainty and foreclosures in the market. So what we're here to do is to help people work their way through their both their credit card debt and their mortgages by helping them to modify or to make settlements on their loans, or conversely, to make settlements and lower their credit card interest rate. All the above.
So specifically, your company's mission statement is to help people find solutions, lower their mortgage interest rate, settle large debts, and what I'm hearing is consolidate credit cards. And what about foreclosure?
Thank you for being here, Helena. We appreciate your journalistic interest. Well, unfortunately, there are many, many foreclosures. There were over 1.2 million in the United States last year, which we consider a crime against the population. There should never be that many families out of homes. Last month alone in California, there was 197,000 foreclosures started. Well, if people are in that position, we want them to call us. Our number is 1-866-753-4028 or 1-818-906-2385. And the reason they should call us is so we can at least find out where they're at in the process and what their rights are. In many cases, the banks don't have the right to foreclose. In some cases, they do. But most banks right now are willing to work things out with people if the numbers work. Now, that's a tricky statement, if the numbers work. But thing is not to hide your head in the sand until you get a notice on your house that your house is being sold. If that happens, please call us right away.
So how long has your company been in existence?
We've been doing this since 2008 when the crisis first started. The company came about because I actually had to modify my own home due to an accident that I had.
So what type of accident was this particularly? What type of hardships would qualify somebody for a mortgage assistance to actually get these lower interest rates you're talking about?
You know, there's many types. Someone could have had a medical hardship, or someone can just have less income than before, or someone's home could be underwater, or there could be a divorce.
Would you help people if their interest rate is just too high?
We'd love to help everyone whose interest rate is too high, but it really depends on their income ratios.
What are the qualifications? When you say income ratios, what exactly are the qualifications?
Well, there's three different ones that we'd have to go into. One would be the percentage they're paying for their mortgage, their principal, their interest, their tax, and their insurance. That has to fit into a gross amount. And we can't say what that is till we see the actual loan. Loans under 429, under 729 fit into a different category than loans over $1 million in California. But generally, it's 31 to 38%.
Of the people's income?
Of their gross income.
Oh, okay.
Which we think is silly since no one lives on gross. But we don't make all the rules. We do know the rules, but we don't make all the rules.
Now, from my understanding, I was told by numerous sources that the rules are constantly changing. Do you have a specific team that keeps up with all the research on the different regulations and rules that are constantly changing?
We do. We have people that's all they really do is go over all the constantly changing rules. It is like firing at a moving target. And as rules change, many times they're in favor of the consumer. Sometimes they're not. and sometimes they are. And, for instance, recently we had a situation where we can now modify rental properties. So if you don't own it but you have a rental property, that can be modified. Okay, now, again, when I say can be, doesn't mean will be. It means can be. To know if it's more, two things you can do. One is call us, and we'll go over the numbers with you. Again, the number is 818-906-2385. Or you can get on our website the Homeowner Mortgage Relief Kit. And that's the website is financialsanitynow.com. So if you click on there, you can get that book, which I personally wrote. Took me quite a few nights of not sleeping. But I think you'll enjoy it. And I think it'll give you a lot of information if you're a homeowner and you're going through any types of trouble.
So I see that there's a lot of homeowners out there with financial hardships or who just can't afford their mortgage. It's going to be, I've heard that there's a lot of sleepless nights from homeowners or people swallowed in debt. How many people would you say you have helped since 2008, since your company has been in existence?
Well, we've helped about 1,100 people, but truly this is a drop in the bucket compared to the people out there who need help. There are so many people who need help. I've always said if there was a blanket modification that everyone could get, we'd be better off. If everyone could get 2 or 3% for the next 5 years, and then maybe 3.65, which is the Fannie Mae rate going on, it would be more fair. But that's not the way it works. Your neighbor might be able to get a modification, and you cannot.
Why is that?
Because your incomes may vary. If someone is making, say, $10,000, technically they can afford a $3,300 payment. Okay? So therefore, you may be making $12,000, and therefore you won't qualify. Another thing is the investors. Many loans have investors behind it. And each investor has their own qualifications everyone has their own investors. I want everyone to get that because it's very important when you talk to the bank. The bank may not own your loan. Bank of America, for instance, has loans from many different people after swallowing up Countrywide. And so we have to deal with the investor, not just the bank.
And at Financial Sanity Now, what is it that your team does to get through to these investors? And you're saying they're investors for the services, so the investor is separate than the servicer? Am I hearing correctly?
Well, the servicer will take the information for the modification, but the investor must approve the modification itself. They have to approve it.
And what is it that your team does to actually accomplish this? So why would the average consumer go to your company other than doing it themselves?
Well, we know how to get to the investor. We do a total forensic on the loan documents. We get to the investor, we find out who has it, and we find out which covenants are in place for that investment. And we find out what state rules govern those covenants. And many times the bank itself doesn't know the governing rules for the investor, but we do. We find it out, and we have to point it out to them.
So you almost use it against them to get something through.
Well, let's put it like this. A good attorney, when they go to court, will know more law than the judge, so they'll point out what the rules are. And once you point out the rules, they're more prone to go along with it. And sometimes that's a long and tedious process to do. We've gotten better at it over the years, but some of them just hinge on a rule written into the investment. Now, the worst ones, I'm not talking too much here, the worst ones are when it's owned by securitized mortgages. These were the typical securitized mortgages that were sold off by people like Bear Stearns, and it was one of the reasons for the financial crises. But as they were sold, they were packaged like hundreds of millions of dollars into what's called a securitized bond. These, of course, were stamped AAA by the rating agencies, which they weren't, and then were passed on to other investors who then got stuck with them. So if your loan is mixed into that, it has all different rules, once again.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. The securitized loans, that were, you know, therefore securitized bonds, they were broken up and sold off to different investors. So one loan can be owned by, are you saying, more than one investor?
I'm saying that you could, they package, say, 10,000 loans into a securitized bond, and they sold that to maybe the California Pension Fund and the Pennsylvania Teachers Pension Fund and another investor in Sweden. And
how
so
is this legal? How is this even legal?
It was legal. It was legal to do. There were no laws against doing things like this. I don't think it was common practice up until the late 90s and early 2000s to package loans like this. I mean, let me go back a little bit. I know I'm a little older than you, but it used to be when you got a loan, you went to a bank. The bank knew where you lived. They gave you a loan, and you made them payments, but they held the mortgage paper. By them holding the mortgage paper, they made sure that you were good for the loan. Once they were able to take this paper and resell it, they didn't have to be responsible for it. Well, that's when everything got out of control.
So the servicer, so let me see if I understand this correctly. The servicer isn't the sole decision maker on whether or not someone's going to receive mortgage assistance, such as a loan modification, and you have to get it through with the investor as well. I have heard a few things recently. I've spoken to a few different consumers who have informed me that they have tried to get a loan modification through themselves. What is it that your company does differently to get this through that the consumer is not? It's they're following everything the bank is telling them.
Well, there's many things. That's kind of a loaded question because there's quite a few things. If you meet the exact guidelines and you have an investor who's going along, then yes, I think get the consumer's homeowner's mortgage relief kit, follow the forms exactly, and I think you can get a modification. How long it takes you, I don't know, because dealing with the bureaucracy is not worth it to a lot of people. But let's just say you're willing to do that.
The homeowner's relief kit, referring to your book?
My book.
Okay. So the consumers can access your book online at financialsanitynow.com.
Yes.
And it's called the Homeowner's Mortgage Relief Kit. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And they could do it themselves?
They can.
Does the book come with a free consultation if they have any additional questions? Can they call you or someone in your company to answer specific questions?
There is a consultation fee, but it's very low. It's like $39.
Okay.
To ask specific questions. But most of it is outlined, including charts and ways to figure it out. But let me go further into your question. So that's if, let's say my mortgage is $1,500 and I'm earning $3,000. Everyone take out your pencils for a moment.
50% of your income.
That's now 50%. But it should be, instead of that, it should be $1,000.
About one-third.
That's correct. About one-third of your income. So, if that's the case, we have to go another step and say, how big is your mortgage? Can you figure that out for me? Helena, can you do that on our chart? How big is the mortgage? Let's do this as an example, okay? Is everyone out there following along?
How would one figure that out?
Well, you have to actually go to an amortization schedule.
And what would you type in online?
Amortization, mortgage amortization. And let's say you had a 30-year loan and you could get it down to 2%. Then your mortgage would be $733. If your taxes...
Wow, that's cutting a payment in half.
That's right. If your taxes were about $300, then you would qualify based on that program. In other words, you'd fit a mold, okay? How many people actually fit a mold? Very few fit the exact mold. This is where it gets tricky. If you're self-employed, if you have Social Security income, if you have other forms
income.
Of income,
okay.
It gets more confusing, and you kind of get tripped up by the bank. So if you're self-employed, the formulas don't work quite the same, all right? The next thing that makes it difficult is you have to figure out what's called the DTI. That's your debt-to-income ratio. You have to have enough money left over to service this loan. So let's say I'm earning $3,000, but I have $2,000 in other debts between cars and credit cards. Well, I don't really have any money left between that and my mortgage, so it doesn't look like I can buy food or pay my electric bill. It's another reason to be rejected. So we help people work on their DTI, either by eliminating their credit card debt.
How do you do that?
Well,
let
me go into that in a little bit, because I just want to finish your first question, if you don't mind. And then the next thing that comes into effect is called NPV. That is net present value. Now, this is a very confusing one to homeowners, because this has to do with the equity in your home. If you have negative equity, it's actually good. This is the crazy part. I always compare getting a modification to being at the Alice in Wonderland. If everyone's read Alice in Wonderland or seen the cartoon, it's like being at the Mad Hatter Tea Party. If you have great credit, it doesn't matter for a modification. If a house is underwater, it's better than if you have equity.
Why is that?
Because the banks are more likely to want to modify you, figuring if they can't modify you, you may leave the house. Because there's no value left in the house. So if it's cheaper for you to rent, many people have actually walked away from their homes.
And a lot of the people that are walking away from their homes are people who are already in foreclosure and most likely are facing a foreclosure sale date. Can your company, and let me get this correct, because I know your website is Financial Sanity Now, but your company is Advanced Economic Strategies, is that correct?
Yeah.
So at your company, do you actually stop the sale date? Can you do that?
Well, yes. I say yes, but again, I want to qualify everything, because if we can get a person into what's called an active modification, accepted into active modification, and if there's a sale date, that could happen in literally 5 working days. If we can get them accepted, yes, they will stop the sale.
So let's say a client calls you within 7 days of their sale date and they say, Alan, listen, I have a sale date. It's next week. Look at my numbers, and let's say on a whim they qualify. You got everything in, you gather the paperwork, and you submit everything to the servicer, correct, the bank. Would that stop or postpone the sale date?
Yes, it would. It would in most cases, it would.
And how many homes have you been able to successfully save? What percentage-wise, how many homes?
So far, 100%.
Wow.
We haven't lost one.
What would you say to the consumers or to the organizations that are saying that loan modifications only have about a 6% success rate?
I would say that the people who they're talking to either haven't tried or really don't understand what they're doing. This is not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of persistence, a lot of intelligence. And if you do it right and you work properly with the banks, I mean, listen, don't look at the banks as being evil. I want people not to put blame. I mean, I can put blame plenty of places if we talk about our economic malaise in this country. But I find that certain banks, of which I will mention certain names, have been actually cooperative. I'll use Chase as an example.
Oh, well, where's Theodore Roosevelt when we need him?
I know. We need another Theodore Roosevelt right now, someone who'll go in there and really make
trust.
Make the system work for everyone, not just a few. But in the meantime, there are some banks who are better than others to work with, for sure. But I would not look at them as your enemy. What I would look at them any more than I'd look at the police as your enemy. They're not your enemy, but you don't disclose everything if you're at a traffic stop or something occurs. You don't tell everything. You go consult experts before you start any process. You get to know the rules before you move forward.
Right.
Otherwise, I think you're at a loss in working with the banks, because you're dealing with a clerk on the other side, and the clerk may not know much more than you. And we're here to cut through the rules, work with the executive departments, and make things work for you and for the bank. I mean, they'd rather work with someone like us who understands them. I've heard this many times, where at least, you know, we can get them the stuff they need and get this done. So, again, don't look at anyone as your enemy here, but do be cautious in what you say. Again, get the book. It'll talk to you more about that.
A big issue that I was, informed about is dual tracking. What is your knowledge and the history of dual tracking within your company?
It's been quite serious. There have been people who have started modifications, and then as the modification was continuing, the bank continued the process of foreclosure. The reason they did it was, the reason the bank said they did it was, well, they're allowed to do it. They're allowed to continue with foreclosure if someone's not paying. But they won't accept payments during that time. So it's really tough on the customer. So dual tracking means they're continuing towards foreclosure. And the customer, the homeowner, feels so much pressure from being in foreclosure and getting a sale date slapped on their house that they start getting nervous. And when they get too nervous, they may simply stop their modification or walk away or accept any terms the bank gives them. Dual tracking now is become illegal in California. It was signed into effect just yesterday. And I credit our state people for doing that, okay? Attorney General Harris and Governor Brown, I think they did a great job with this law. It does prohibit dual tracking if and when a modification is proceeding forward. Now, I do think the banks will follow this rule starting now. I think they should follow it, and I think they will follow it. Let's hope so.
So this would be affecting the people that were receiving 10 collection letters in one day and at the same time receiving a letter with the same date saying we need this and this to proceed forward with your modification, but we're also asking for a payment and we're proceeding forward with foreclosure. That is dual tracking, just so the consumers are aware.
That is hysterical. The amount of times that happens is absolutely absurd. They'll get a letter the same day, we need this and this to proceed with your modification, and the same day we're selling your house. It doesn't make sense. It drives people crazy. The bank always claims it's computer error, but in effect, that is dual tracking, and it's a very bad practice.
What a waste of paper.
Well, talk about waste of paper when they decide to send an NOD on Nendex West, sends 22 certified letters at a time, and they all say the same thing. Someone tell me why they do that. 22 of the same letter, certified, not to mention the postage.
So the new law outlawing dual tracking, that's the significant happening within the state of California.
Well, there's a couple of things that it outlaws. It outlaws dual tracking. It also, and again, this is brand new, it outlaws robo-signing. Now, robo-signing is a whole other situation. Are you aware of it, robo-signing?
No, I was going to ask you, what is robo-signing?
Robo-signing is when the banks picked up loans that they got from other places. For instance, when Bank of America got it from Countrywide and Countrywide got it from Bear Stearns, and these loans kept turning. Well, every time it turns, there has to be a registration. There has to be a change in, just like if you sold your house, you have to have it registered with the county, okay? And it has to be registered. What they did was they used what's called electronic MERS, and they just stamped the papers as if it was transferred, as if these people actually saw the signatures, and they didn't. No one saw the actual transfer papers, and no one saw the signatures, and no one really registered the properties, and therefore it was done illegally. A lot of people lost their homes this way. Well, it's now illegal, at least in the state of California. So let's hope that helps us a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it seems like you've dealt with a lot of horror stories. What type of stories have you dealt with in specific with your consumers?
Well, we can start in a lot of places. We have some sad stories. We had a lady who had cancer, and we kept her in her house for 12 months, working on modifying her, but she did pass away. But at least we were able to keep her there during her last times. We have worked with some of the best firefighters in the city of Los Angeles. When there were cutbacks, we were able to get firefighters reduction in their mortgages, including one of the chiefs, a gentleman named Frank Cornejo, very, very brilliant man. And we were able to help him out. And it's an interesting story with Frank, because after he received his final modification papers, 2 months afterwards, the Bank of America tried to rescind his paperwork. They just said, no, you don't have a modification. Well, this was after he had a modification. And the Bank of America is now in for a major lawsuit for doing something like this. I will say it is the anomaly, not a normal, but in this case, that did happen. I can briefly go over some other ones for you. And if a professor, his name was Frank Dawson, and he was a professor at a community college. He came to us with a horrific home that was $200,000 underwater. And unfortunately, Wells Fargo, this was an investor-owned property, and they'd only reduce it temporarily. It's called a temporary modification. And we don't like those at all. And
who was the investor?
The investor was one of those mortgage-backed securities.
So one of the mortgage-backed securities that you were discussing earlier that got sold off in bits and pieces.
That's correct. Now, this was about 3 years ago. Today, we know better how to fight those and how to win those cases. But back then, we weren't as familiar. Let me tell you about a couple of other cases, some very beautiful people. His name's Armeek. He's one of the classical guitarists. whose income went way down because, you know, music went online and they couldn't sell it at the same rate. They had their home and studios in Woodland Hills, and they were having a terrible time making their mortgage payment. And they came to us. They were actually in a state of bankruptcy at the time. And we were able to modify them within the bankruptcy. This is something that I don't think many people know how to do, or they think, well, once you go into a bankruptcy, you'll lose your home. It's not true. You can go into a bankruptcy. You can keep your home if you either modify it or continue your payments. But we were successfully able to help these beautiful people out, and he's now back to playing his classical guitar instead of worrying about his home.
That's wonderful, Alan. It seems like you're really doing a wonderful thing over there at Financial Sanity now. So, basically, you help a lot of people, and what I'm understanding from this entire conversation is that there are possibilities, there are ways around regulations around investors, around problems, around income, around contribution, around hardships. What I'm hearing is your company figures it out.
We do. We do figure it out. And we work hard to figure it out. And there's so many variances. There's so many variables that take place in a modification that we have to really study this. Now, we don't charge to study it. You know, there's no charge. We tell them what can get done. That's all.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It sounds like you're really working for the people, and that's what needs to be done. What I heard earlier, you mentioned something about credit card debt. What exactly do you do?
Well, credit card debt is probably a bigger problem than mortgages. There's so much credit card debt out there. There's several ways to deal with it. One, of course, is bankruptcy. People can go bankrupt and get rid of their credit card debt. A lot of people don't want to, or they can't, because they have other assets. So they'd have to consult an attorney dealing with bankruptcy before that would take place. The second way is to go to these companies that say, well, we'll cut your debt in half, or something like that. And what they do is they're taking your money, and that money that's being taken is being put in an account, and they're taking 20 or 30% off the top. And when you get so much money together, they make a deal with the credit card company. So if you want to use a company like that, my suggestion is do not. Because, excuse me, I'm going to cough.
Are you feeling okay over there?
Yeah, be all right. The reason I say do not is because if you really want to do that, just after 6 months of not paying the bill, which is what it's going to take for them to settle, you can make your own deal. And it won't be a whole lot different than they do. It might even be better. It'll probably be 20%.
Wow.
So if you want to do that, go ahead and do it. But remember, at that point, you have a lot of lates on your credit. So if you do that for 4 or 5 credit cards, you have all those lates, is it better to go bankrupt or get those lates? But here's the kicker on the side for that one. When you settle, anything that's not paid, so let's say I have $10,000 and I settle for $5,000, that $5,000 becomes taxable income. Taxable. So I will get a 1099-C, and that'll come to me, and at that point I have to pay tax on it for the next year. So now you have a lot of lates, and you have a tax problem. You know?
Is that your alarm going off there?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Maybe it's time for you to drink some water.
Yeah, one moment, okay? Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Wonderful. So why would the consumers call your company to deal with their credit cards?
Okay, what we do is something totally different. We get the credit card companies to bring the interest rate to zero. So if you have, say, $20,000 in credit card debt, you're paying 12% a year. That's $200 a month. But that payment is only interest. What we're going to do is we talk to them. We have a relationship. We do this on an everyday basis. We'll lump all your credit cards together, get you one payment. So, again, take $20,000. Let's do the math together. $20,000. Okay. We'll get it to almost zero interest. All right. And then we'll make a payment of $333 a month that'll all go towards principal. In other words, we'll turn it from interest only to only paying principal and paying it off.
Over how long?
Over 5 years.
Okay.
So now you don't have a tax consequence and you don't have any lates and you keep your credit. So it's not so bad.
Wow. And you could do this with various different lenders, different credit card companies?
Pretty much Amex, all the Visas.
MasterCard.
Discovery card. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about airline, cards like that, Home Depot, Target?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
yes. Wow. Yeah, they'll all go along with us. And again, we have to put together a package. And, you know, if it's a burden, and most people it is a burden, once they get over $20,000, $25,000 in credit card debt, they're only paying their interest. And that is not helping anyone.
Right.
You know, they're just in this interest cycle, this kind of debt spiral. And we want to help them out of that.
Okay. So we've gone over the fact that you help people lower their mortgage interest rates.
Yes.
We've gone over the fact that you help people save their homes from foreclosure and a potential foreclosure.
Yeah.
Including sale dates.
Yeah.
We've gone over the credit card consolidations and how you can get interest rates as low as 0% and pay it off principal only over the period of 5 years.
Correct.
What about other types of debt, such as second loans?
Okay, well, an interesting thing that's going on with second loans, we can negotiate second loans. If someone out there has a second loan, they should be aware of a very major factor, and that is that at the end of this year, the 2008 Tax Forgiveness Act ends. Whether it will continue, I don't know. If anyone knows who the next group of politicians will be, then you can tell me.
What does that mean for the consumer that it will end?
What it means is that if we negotiate a loan, if you have a second mortgage for $100,000 and we can negotiate it down to $20,000, that saves you $80,000. You will not have to pay tax on that gain. You will not. Let me repeat, not.
If it's settled before
the end of 2012. If it is not settled, it can be still settled, but you may wind up paying tax on it again, depending if it's extended. And I don't think any of us know the political landscape that well.
Right, right.
We're just not sure. But those loans can be done. We also deal with business loans for people. We've had companies who have had business loans wanted us to negotiate for them with the bank, change the terms of the business loan. And we've done that as well.
What about modifying? Do you ever modify second home loans?
Yes.
Second, third, fourth?
Absolutely. We do. We modify them as well. So sometimes down to 1%.
Wow.
I know.
That sounds unbelievable.
That's pretty good.
So your company has a history of helping people in this way?
Yes, we do.
Wow. Honestly, a lot of the things that you've told me as far as interest rates and whatnot have seemed a little unbelievable. What's the best interest rate you've ever gotten for anybody?
Well, the best is 2%, but we've had one situation, and this was on a $1.3 million loan, where one of our staff people, a genius, we have a couple of geniuses, I call them geniuses, was able to take part of that loan and balloon it. So the payment that was over $6,000 a month went down to $2,584 a month.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. That was pretty incredible. And that was based on ballooning part of the loan and getting a 2% loan as well. So there are creative ways. There's definitely creative ways. There's ballooning loans. There's amortizing them over 40 years rather than 30 to get the payment lower.
Is that common these days, 40 years?
It's probably half of them are coming out.
And what program, what type of program would you have to go through?
Well, it could be what's known as HAMP, which is Making Homes Affordable. That is one. But there's also recently with Chase, we had someone with an $800,000 loan that had a 40-year amortization. We were able to get it for them.
Wow.
And so it could be a CHAMP loan. So it's not necessarily a particular program. It's more the way we configure the numbers and get them to work for the consumer. And, you know, people just don't have the same money as they used to have. I personally don't think inflation is down. I think inflation is up. We're still paying $3.50 for gas or $3.80 in California. That means my dollar is only worth a quarter compared to what it was even a few years ago. And I know the price of milk is higher. The price of bread is higher. So who's telling me inflation's down? I don't know. Rents are up. The only thing down is maybe clothing coming in from China.
Oh, that's
possible.
You have a great sense of humor, Alan. I have a question. What do you know about the DOJ program? The mortgage DOJ program?
I'm glad you didn't say the DOG program. That's the Department of Justice, the new program that's possible. Again, possible. I like to use the word possible, although we do believe in miracles. And it's a principal reduction program where those people we can get to qualify for it will receive principal reduction on their homes. And recently, I think it was just yesterday, one of our people got a $200,000 principal reduction for a very nice lady who was on a home in, where is that, Simi Valley or somewhere out there. But yeah, if we can qualify them for that program, there's principal reduction, and nothing better than getting your principal reduced. And once it's reduced, it is reduced. There's no going back. That means you owe less money than you owed before. And that's a wonderful program, and we're thankful for all the people that have helped to pass that program.
And in this program, do they also lower your interest rate?
They could, and many times they do, yes.
And is that calculated also off of, as you stated before, the one-third or the 31% income, or is it off of less, more?
That is running about 28% of income. You have to be at 28, so it's actually a little more stringent. But yeah, a lot of people that's all they can afford is 28% of their income.
Right. Well, I was told that rent was up in California, so if you can qualify for this program and you have an existing home already, it's not a bad deal.
And many times it's better than, much better than renting, is if you pay the same price with a modified home, is to keep your home. Or stay in the home, so even if it's worth less, now you can stay there. And because, yeah, rents have gone up, especially for homes. There's so many displaced people. It makes my heart hurt how many displaced people there are. They're moving back in with their parents or their grandparents or... I mean, this shouldn't be the way it is in America. It just shouldn't be this way.
Where corporations are profiting off of more interest and taking people's homes rather than lowering the interest, keeping people in their homes, and keeping their foreclosure ratings down. I was recently browsing on Bank of America's website, and I noticed that they had a section where the average consumer, if they qualified, could purchase a home for very little, much less than, you know, back in the early 2000s. And these are homes that have been foreclosed on. Is this some kind of scheme? I mean, on a personal note, Alan, and I know it's hard to, you know, to separate personal and business, but on a personal note, what do you feel about the banks taking so many homes and not helping the people?
Well, I feel, first of all, it is a very complex problem. You don't just have the banks, you do have investors, and I understand investors, because if you're an investor, you want a return on your investment. I understand that. That's why people invest. I understand the banks have a role to play. In many cases, they're servicers. What I don't understand is why they don't work together to keep more people in their homes. When they take a home and they sell it for less, they're basically selling it to investors. And those investors are turning around and renting it out or selling it again. So I don't think it's helpful for the economy, and I don't think it's helpful for, you know, the psychology or the health of the population for that to continue the way it's going. I think there are things that are being done to be helpful. I think the Obama administration has done a fair amount. I'd like to see more, but they've done a fair amount to be helpful. But my opinion is that more could be done. It could be done in a more streamlined way, where complex cases like we have to deal with wouldn't be so complex. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. There was a study done, this was on CNBC recently, where you have a lot of foreclosures in certain areas. Like there were certain areas in San Bernardino, part of California, and certain parts of Chicago. They actually correlated it with heart disease. And they found that heart disease had gone up significantly among those people who were in this process of foreclosure or being foreclosed upon. So we're talking about this taking a real effect on people, an emotional effect and a health effect. And do I have all the answers? No. But I would like to offer a few answers if you want to hear them.
Wow. So this is not only a financial problem, but this is an ethical situation going on. People are, you know,
they're losing, a lot of them are their health.
They're jeopardizing their health.
A lot of them are sick. They're literally sick from this. I want to say something. I know we don't have much time, and I want to thank you for being here on the show, but I just want to summarize a couple of these new homeowners' revised rights before we get off the air. So let me read for everyone. There's key parts of the foreclosure overhaul bill, okay? One, it will restrict the lender from dual tracking, okay, if we're negotiating to modify. It outlaws robo-signing or the improper or faulty processing of foreclosure documents. If you don't know if those documents apply to you, again, call us, 818-906-2385. It allows homeowners and state agencies to sue financial institutions for economic and civil damages under certain circumstances. And it does require the banks to assign you a point of contact instead of being jumped around from person to person. I know that's most annoying. Those are some of the provisions. Again, unfortunately, they don't take place till January 1st, but I think they might, you know, people might start adhering to it a little bit earlier.
I've heard of some of the horror stories where every month I had a friend. He was actually a firefighter, oddly enough. I had a friend, and he had a point of contact at Bank of America. He was trying to get a modification through himself. And every month, the bank would send him a new first and last name, a new representative working on his loan, and it would reach a certain stage, and then it would switch again. Do you feel that this is the bank's tactics, the services tactics, to just stall for time to inevitably take the home?
I think that they're certainly not being great about things. Whether it's on purpose, conspiratorial, I'm not going to speculate. But I am going to say that they could do a lot more to make sure things run right. And I know it takes a little money on their part and a little more effort, but I think it absolutely has to be done so that this process of taking 3, 4, 5, 6 months and certain times a year. And I will tell you something else. This whole thing is due to expire at the end of 2013, and I don't think the housing crisis will be over.
What whole thing exactly are you referring to?
The HAM programs expire at the end of 2013.
The program that's helping people lower their interest rates.
That's right. So I'm not saying it's purposeful, but I do say that more can be done and should be done.
Right. Oh, my goodness, Alan, you have loaded us up with so much information today. I really hope some of the consumers can, you know, understand what it is your company does. And for the record, once again, your company's name is?
Well, it's Financial Sanity Now. That's the website, financialsanitynow.com. The name of the company, the acting company, is Advanced Economic Strategies. We're
wow.
in Sherman Oaks, California, but we'll talk to anyone in the state.
Is it just in the state that you help people, or do you help people in other states?
Oh, just in the state. And then also, our number is 818-906-2385, or a computer number to reach us is 866-753-4028. I want to say it's been a pleasure talking to everyone out there, and I want to wish you all a great night. I think our time's up, according to our engineer, but I'm not sure.
I think we have about 5 more minutes. I'm not quite sure. But do you have an email address you want to provide to the listeners?
I do. It's Alan, A-L-L-E-N, at A as in Edward, Alan, A-E-S, Alan Edward Sam, 77.com. Okay, that's a good email address for any questions.
And then... Well, honestly, Alan, I really want to thank you for even speaking to me today, and thank you for helping so many people that you do. I mean, 1,100, I know, people out there. Saying,
well, we hope it goes up. We hope this amount of people keeps going up.
Right.
But in order to do anything, they have to ask for the help. One thing I say about people is don't bury your head in the sand. Don't use your retirement savings. So many people come to us there. They've used up their retirement savings. They've used up their last monies. And then they go, what can I do? No, stop. Don't wait till that happens, thinking things will get better. Let's be proactive way before that occurs. If it is a burden, if this is costing you more than 31% of your income for your principal, interest, tax, and insurance, get on the phone with us. Okay? Another thing I want to say, if everyone has an interest-only loan, very important. Any interest-only loans, we know they're very low right now due to the Federal Reserve holding interest rates down. That won't last forever. Our suggestion is, while rates are low, to get it over to a principal and interest loan. That would be very important. Again, 866-753-4028 would be the best number to call. We can talk to you about that. A lot of things we can do by phone and email.
Thank you so much, Alan. I'm sure the people really appreciate what you've been doing. I sure appreciate it. And, okay, listeners, if you're out there, 866-753-4028. Is that correct, Alan?
That's correct.
FinancialSanityNow.com, Advanced Economic, Alan Lissauer, Helena Lay, thank you very much.
And we're signing off.